Now, darting Parthia, art thou struck, and now, please, fortune does of Marcus Crassus's death, make me revenger. Bear the king's son's body before our army. Thy Pacorus Orodes pays this for Marcus Crassus.
Noble Ventidius, well, yet with Parthian blood thy sword is warm. The fugitive Parthians follow. Spur through Media, Mesopotamia, and the shelters whither thy rooted fly. So thy grand captain Anthony shall set thee on triumphant chariots and put garlands on thy head.
Oh, Silius, Silius, I have done enough. A lower place, note well, may make too great an act. For learn this, Silius. Better to leave undone than by our deed acquire too high a fame when him we serves away. Caesar and Antony have ever won more in their officer than person. So Caius, one of my place in Syria, his lieutenant, for quick accumulation of renown which he achieved by the minute, lost his favor. Who does i' the wars more than his captain can, becomes his captain's captain. And ambition, the soldier's virtue, rather makes choice of less than gain, which darkens him. I could do more to do Antonius good, but 'twould offend him, and in his offense should my performance perish.
Thou hast, Ventidius, that without the which a soldier and his sword grant scarce distinction. That will write to Antony.
I'll humbly signify what in his name, that magical word of war, we have effected. How with his banners and his well-paid ranks, the near-yet-beaten horse of Parthia, we have jaded out the field.
Where is he now?
He purposes to Athens. Whither, with what haste, the weight we must convey with will permit. On there! Pass along!
What? Are the brothers parted?
They have dispatched with Pompey. He is gone. The other three are sealing. Octavia weeps to part from Rome, Caesar is sad, and Lepidus, since Pompey's feast, as Menas says, is troubled with the green sickness.
Tis a noble Lepidus.
A very fine one. Oh, how he loves Caesar.
Nay, but how dearly he adores Mark Antony.
Caesar? Why, he's the Jupiter of men.
What? Antony, the god of Jupiter?
Speak you of Caesar? How? The nonpareil.
Oh, Antony. Oh, thou Arabian bird.
Would you praise Caesar? Say, Caesar, go no further.
Oh, indeed. He plied them both with excellent phrases.
He loves Caesar best, yet he loves Antony. Oh, hearts, tongues, figures, scribes, bards, poets cannot think, speak, cast, write, sing, number, ho! Oh, his love to Antony. But as for Caesar, kneel down, and wonder.
Both he loves.
So they are his sharks, and he their beetle. So, this is to horse. Adieu, noble Agrippa.
Good fortune, worthy soldier, and farewell.
No further, sir.
You take from me a great part of myself. Use me well, int, sister. Prove such a wife as my thoughts make thee, and as my farthest band shall pass on thy approof. Most noble Antony, let not the peace of virtue which is set betwixt us as the cement of our love, to keep it builded, but the ram to batter the fortress of it. For better might we have loved without this mean, if on both parts this be not cherished.
Make me not offended in your distrust.
I have said.
You shall not find, though you be therein curious, the least cause for what you seem to fear. So, the gods keep you, and make the hearts of Romans serve your ends. We will here part.
Farewell, my dearest sister, fare thee well. The elements be kind to thee, and make thy spirits all of comfort.
My noble brother.
The April's in her eyes. It is love's spring, and these the showers to bring it on. Be cheerful.
Sir, look well to my husband's house,
what?
And...
What, Octavia?
I'll tell you in your ear.
Her tongue will not obey her heart, nor can her heart inform her tongue the swan's down feather that stands upon the swell of full tide and neither way inclines.
Will Caesar weep, Agrippa?
He has a cloud in his face, Enobarbus.
He were the worse for that were he a horse. So is he being a man.
Why, Enobarbus, when Antony found Julius Caesar dead, he cried almost to roaring, and he wept when at Philippi he found Brutus slain.
That year indeed he was troubled with the rheum. What willingly he did confound, he wailed. Believed it, till I wept too.
No, sweet sister, you shall hear from me still. The time shall not outgo my thinking on you.
Come, sir, come. I'll wrestle with you in my strength of love. Look, here I have you. Thus I let you go, and give you to the gods.
Adieu. Be happy. Let all the numbers of the stars give light to thy fair way.
Farewell.
Where is the fellow?
Half afeard to come.
Go to? Go to! Come hither, sir.
Good majesty, Herod of Jewry dare not look upon you but when you are well pleased.
That Herod's head I'll have, but how, when Antony is gone, through whom I might command it? Come thou near.
Most gracious majesty.
Didst thou behold Octavia?
Ah, dread queen.
Where?
Madam, in Rome. I looked in her face and saw her led between her brother and Mark Antony.
Is she as tall as me?
She is not, madam.
Didst hear her speak? Is she shrill-tongued or low?
Madam, I heard her speak. She is low-voiced.
That's not so good. He cannot like her long.
Like her? Oh, Isis, 'tis impossible.
I think so, Charmian. Dull of tongue and dwarfish. What majesty is in her gait? Remember, if e'er thou looked on majesty.
She creeps. Her motion and her station are as one. She shows a body rather than a life. A statue, then a breather.
Is this certain?
Oh, I have no observance.
Three in Egypt cannot make better note.
Oh, she's very knowing. I do perceive there's nothing in Octavia yet. Philo has good judgment.
Excellent.
Guess at her years, I prithee.
Madam, she was a widow.
Widow! Charmian, hark!
And I do think she's 30.
Bear'st thou her face in mind? Is it long or round?
Round, even to faultness.
For the most part, too, they are foolish that are so. Her hair, what color?
Brown, madam. And her forehead, as low as she would wish it.
There's gold for thee. Thou must not take my former sharpness ill. I will employ thee back again. I find thee most fit for business. Go make thee ready. Our letters are prepared.
A proper lady.
Indeed, she is so. I repent me much that I so harried her. Why, methinks by her this creature's no such thing.
Nothing, madam.
The woman has seen some majesty, and should know.
Hath she seen majesty? Isis, I'll defend, and serving you so long.
I have yet one more thing to ask her. But 'tis no matter, thou shalt bring her to me where I will write. All may be well enough.
I warrant you, madam.
Nay, Octavia, not only that, thou art excusable, that, and thousands more of semblable import. But he hath waged new wars against Pompey, made his will, and read it to public ear, spoke scantly of me. When, perforce, he could not but pay me terms of honor, cold and sickly, he vented them, most narrow measure lent me. When the best hint was given him, he not took it, or took it from his teeth.
Oh, my good lord, believe not all, or if you must believe, stomach not all. A more unhappy lady, if this division chance, near stood between, praying for both parts. The good gods me presently, when I shall pray, O bless my lord and husband. Undo that prayer by crying out as loud, O bless my brother. Husband win, brother, praise, and destroys the prayer. No midway twixt these extremes at all.
Gentle Octavia, let your best love draw to that point which seeks best to preserve it. If I lose my honor, I lose myself. Better I were not yours than yours so branchless. But, as you requested, yourself shall go betweens. In the meantime, lady, I'll raise the preparation of a war shall stain your brother. Make your soonest haste, so your desires are yours.
Thanks to my lord. Yeah. The Jove of power make me most weak. Most weak your reconciler. Wars twixt you twain would be as if the world should cleave, and that slain men should sutter up the rift.
When it appears to you where this begins, turn your displeasure that way. For our faults can never be so equal that your love can equally move with them. Provide you're going, choose your own company, and command what cost your heart has mine to.
How now, Mardian?
There's strange news come, sir.
What, man?
Caesar and Lepidus have made wars upon Pompey.
This is old. What is the success?
Caesar, having made use of him in the wars against Pompey, presently denied him rivality, would not let him partake in the glory of the action, and not resting here, accuses him of letters he had formerly wrote to Pompey, upon his own appeal, seizes him. So the poor third is up, till death enlarge his confines.
Then, world, thou hast a pair of chaps, no more. And throw between them all the food thou hast, they'll grind the one the other. Where's Antony?
He's walking in the garden, thus, and spurns the rush that lies before him, cries, foul Lepidus, and threats the throat of that his officer that murdered Pompey.
Oh, our great navy's rigged.
For Italy and Caesar. More, Enobarbus, Antony desires you presently. My news I might have told you hereafter.
'Twill be naught, but let it be. Bring me to Antony.
Contemning Rome, he has done all this and more in Alexandria. Here's the manner of it. In the marketplace, on tribunal silvered, Cleopatra and himself in chairs of gold were publicly enthroned. At the feet sat Caesarion, whom they call my father's son, and all the unlawful issue that their lust since then hath made between them. Unto her he gave the establishment of Egypt, made her of Lower Syria, Cyprus, Lydia, absolute queen.
This in the public eye?
In a common show place, where they exercise. His sons he's there proclaimed the kings of kings. Great Medea, Parthia, and Armenia he gave to Alexander. To Ptolemy he assigned Syria, Cilicia, and Phoenicia. She in the habiliments of the goddess Isis that day appeared, and oft before gave audience, as 'tis reported so.
Let Rome be thus informed.
Who, queasy with this insolence? Already will good thoughts call from him.
The people know it, and have now received his accusations.
Who does he accuse?
Caesar! And that, having in Sicily Sextus Pompeius spoiled, we had not rated him his part of the isle. Then, does he say, he lent me some shipping unrestored. Lastly, he frets that Lepidus of the Triumvirate should be deposed, and being that we detain all his revenue.
Sir, this should be answered!
Tis done already, and the messenger gone. I have told him Lepidus was grown too cruel, that he his high authority abused, and did deserve his change. For what I have conquered, I grant him part, but then in his Armenia and other of his conquered kingdoms, I demand the like.
He'll never yield to that.
Nor must not, then, be yielded to in this.
Hail, Caesar, and my lord. Hail, most dear Caesar.
That ever I should call thee castaway.
You have not called me so, nor have you cause.
Why have you stolen upon us thus? You come not like Caesar's sister. The wife of Antony should have an army for an usher, and the neighs of horses to tell of her approach, long ere she did appear. The trees, by the way, should have borne men, and expectation fainted, longing for what it had not. Nay, the dust should have ascended to the roof of heaven, raised by your populous troops. But you are come a market maid to Rome, and have prevented the ostentation of our love, which, left unshown, is often left unloved. We should have met you by sea and land, supplying every stage with an augmented greeting.
Good my lord, to come thus was I not constrained, but did on my free will. My lord, Mark Antony, hearing that you prepared for war, acquainted my grieved ear with all, whereon I begged his pardon for return.
Which soon he granted, being an obstruct between his lust and him.
Do not say so, my lord.
I have eyes upon him, and his affairs come to me on the wind. Where is he now?
My lord, in Athens.
No, my most wronged sister. Cleopatra hath nodded him to her. He hath given his empire up to a whore, who now are levying the kings of the earth for war. He hath assembled Bacchus, the king of Libya, Archelaus of Cappadocia, Philadelphus, king of Paphlagonia, the Thracian king Adalus, king Malchus of Arabia, king of Pont, Herod of Jewry, Mithridates, king of Commagene, Polemon and Arminentus, the kings of Mede and Lachiona, with a more larger list of scepters.
Ah, me, most wretched, that have my heart parted between two friends that do afflict each other.
Welcome hither. Your letters did withhold our breathing forth, till we perceived both how you were wrong led, and we in negligent danger. Cheer your heart. Be you not troubled with the time which drives o'er your content these strong necessities. But let determined things to destiny hold bewailed their way. Welcome to Rome, nothing more dear to me. You are abused beyond the mark of thought, and the high gods, to do you justice, make them ministers of us and those that love you. Best of comfort, and ever welcome to us.
Welcome, lady.
Welcome, dear madam. Each heart in Rome does love and pity you. Only the adulterous Antony, most large in his abomination, turns you off, and gives his potent regiment to a trull that noises it against us.
Is it so, sir?
Most certain. Sister, welcome. Pray you, be ever known to patience, my dearest sister.
I will be even with thee. Doubt it not.
But why? Why?
Why?
Thou hast forespoke my being in these wars and say it's not fit.
Well, is it? Is it?
If not denounced against us, why should not we be there in person?
Well, I could reply if we should serve with horse and mares together, the horse were merely lost, the mares would bear a soldier and his horse.
What is you say?
Your presence needs must puzzle Antony. Take from his heart, take from his brain, from his time, what should not then be spared? He is already traduced for levity, and 'tis said in Rome that Fontius and an eunuch and your maids manage this war!
Sink, Rome, in the tongue's rot that speak against us. A charge we bear in the war, and as the president of my kingdom will appear there for a man. Speak not against it. I will not stay behind.
Oh, nay, I have done. Here comes the emperor.
Is it not strange, Anabarbus, that from Tarentum and Brundisium he could so quickly cut the Ionian Sea and take in Torn? Have you heard on it, sweet?
Celerity is never more admired than by the negligent.
A good rebuke, which might have well become the best of men to taunt at slackness. Anabarbus, we will fight with him by sea.
By sea? What else, Anabarbus?
Why will my lord do so?
For that he dares us to it.
So hath my lord dared him to single fight? Aye, and to wage this battle at Pharsalia, where Caesar fought with Pompey? But these offers, which serve not for his vantage, be shaken off, and so should you. Your ships are not well manned. Your mariners are muleteers, reapers, people engrossed in swift impress. In Caesar's fleet are those that have often gainst Pompey fought. Their ships are yours heavy. No disgrace shall fall you for refusing him at sea, being prepared for land.
By sea.
Sir, you therein throw away the absolute soldiership you have by land. Distract your army, which doth consist of war-marked footmen. Leave unexecuted your own renowned knowledge. Forgo the way which promises assurance, and give up yourself merely to chance and hazard from firm security.
I'll fight at sea.
I have 60 sails. Caesar, none better.
Our overplus of shipping we will burn, and with the rest full manned, from the head of Actium beat the approaching Caesar. But if we fail, we then can do it at land. Philo, thy business?
The news is true, my lord. He is descried. Caesar has taken Torn.
Can he be there in person? 'Tis impossible. Strange that power should be. Anabarbus, our 19 legions thou shalt hold by land, and our 12,000 horse.
Sir.
Wheel to ship. Away, my Thetis. How now, my worthy soldier?
O noble emperor, do not fight by sea. Trust not to rotten planks. Do you misdoubt this sword, and these my wounds? Let the Egyptians and the Phoenicians go a-ducking. We have used to conquer, standing on the earth, and fighting foot to foot.
Well, away!
By Hercules, I think I'm in the right.
Demetrius, thou art. But his whole action grows not in the power on't, so our leader's led, and we are women's men.
You keep by land, the legions and the horse whole, do you not?
Marcus Octavius, Marcus Justius, Publicola, and Calus are for sea, but we keep whole by land. Ugh, the speed of Caesar's carries beyond belief.
While he was yet in Rome, his power went out in such distractions as beguiled all spies.
Who's his lieutenant, hear you?
They say one Taurus.
Well, I know the man.
The emperor calls Anababas?
With news the times with labor, and throws forth each minute some.
Taurus, strike not by land. Keep hold. Provoke not battle till we have done at sea. Do not exceed the precept of this scroll. Our fortune lies upon this jump.
Set we our squadrons on yon side of the hill in the eye of Caesar's battle, from which place we may the number of the ships behold, and so proceed accordingly.
Not! I can behold no longer the Antoniad, the Egyptian admiral, with all their 60. Fly and turn the rudder! To see it, mine eyes are blasted!
Gods and goddesses, all the whole synod of them!
What's thy passion?
The greater cantle of the world is lost! With very ignorance, we've kissed away kingdoms and provinces.
How appears the fight?
On our side, like the token pestilence, where death is sure. Yon ribald-rid nag of Egypt, whom leprosy o'ertake. In the midst of the fight, when vantage like a pair of twins appeared, both at the same, or rather ours the elder, the breeze upon her like a cow in June, hoist sail and flies!
That I beheld. Mine eyes did sicken at the sight and could not endure a further view.
She once being loofed, the noble ruin of her magic, Antony, claps on his sea wing, and like a doting mallard, leaving the fight in height, flies after her!
Alack! Alack!
I never saw an action of such shame. Experience, manhood, honor, ne'er before did violate so itself.
Our fortune on the sea is out of breath and sinks most lamentably. Had our general been what he knew himself, it had gone well. Oh, he has given example for our flight most grossly by his own. Why, then, good night indeed.
Toward Peloponnesus are they fled. 'Tis easy to it, and there I will attend what further comes.
I'll yet follow the wounded chance of Antony, though my reason sits in the wind against me. Duh!
Hark! The land bids me tread no more upon it. It is a shame to bear me. Friends, come hither. I am so lated in the world that I have lost my way forever. I have a ship laden with gold. Take that, divide it, fly, and make your peace with Caesar. I have fled myself and have instructed cowards to run and show their soldiers. Friends, be gone. I have resolved upon a course which has no need of you. Be gone! My treasure's in the harbor. Take it. Followed that I blush to look upon. My very hairs do mutiny, for the white reprove the brown for rashness, and they them for fear and doting. Friends, be gone. You shall have letters from me to some friends that will sweep your way for you. Pray you, look not sad, nor make replies of loathness. Take the hint which my despair proclaims. Let that be left which leaves itself. To the seaside straight away. I will possess you of that ship and treasure. Leave me, I pray, a little. Pray you now. Nay, do so, for indeed I have lost command. Therefore, I pray you, I'll see you by and by.
Nay, gentle madam, to him, comfort him.
Do, most dear queen, do. Why, what else?
Let me sit down.
No, 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 no!
See you here, sir?
No, fie, fie, fie!
Madam, madam, oh good empress.
Sir, sir!
Yes, my lord, yes. He at Philippi kept his sword e'en like a dancer, while I struck the lean and wrinkled Cassius, and 'twas I that the mad Brutus ended. He alone dealt on lieutenantry, and no practice had in the brave squares of war. Yet now, no matter.
Stand by!
The queen, my lord, the queen.
Go to him, madam, speak to him. He is unqualified with very shame.
Well then, sustain him! Oh,
most noble sir, arise. The queen approaches. Her head's declined, and death will seize her, but your comfort makes the rescue.
I have offended reputation, a most unnoble swerving.
Sir, the queen.
Oh, whither hast thou led me, Egypt? See how I convey my shame out of thine eyes by looking back what I have left behind, destroyed in dishonor.
Oh, my lord, forgive my fearful sails. I little thought you would have followed.
Egypt, thou knewst too well my heart was to thy rudder tied by the strings, and thou shouldst tow me after. Or my spirit, thy full supremacy thou knewest, and that thy beck might from the bidding of the gods command me.
Oh, my pardon.
Now, I must to thee, young man, send humble treaties, dodge and palter in the shifts of lowness, who with half the bulk of the world played as I pleased, making and marring fortunes. You did know how much you were my conqueror, and that my sword, made weak by my affection, would obey it on all cause.
Pardon, pardon.
Fall not a tear. I say, one of them rates all that is won and lost. Give me a kiss. Even this repays me. Love, I am full of lead. Some wine within there, and our viands. Fortune knows we scorn her most when most she offers blows.
Let him appear that's come from Antony. Know you him?
Caesar, 'tis his schoolmaster. An argument that he has plucked when hither he sends so poor opinion of his wing, which had superfluous kings for messengers not many moons gone by.
Approach and speak.
Such as I am, I come from Antony. I was as late as petty to his ends,
as is the mondew on the myrtle leaf, to his grand seat.
Be it so. Declare thine office.
Lord of his fortunes, he salutes thee, and requires to live in Egypt, which not granted, he lessens his requests, and to thee sues to let him breathe between the heavens and earth, a private man in Athens. This for him. Next, Cleopatra does confess thy greatness, submits her to thy might, and of thee craves the circle of the Ptolemies for their help, now hazarded to thy grace.
For Antony, I have no ears to his request. The queen, of audience nor desire, shall fail, so she from Egypt drive her all-disgraced friend, or take his life there. This, if she perform, she shall not sue unheard. So tell them both.
Fortune pursue thee.
Bring him through the bands. From Antony, win Cleopatra. Promise, and in our name what she requires, Thyreus. Add more, from thine invention, offers. Women are not in their best fortunes strong. But want will perjure that ne'er touched vestal. Try thy cunning. Make thine own edict for thy pains, which we will answer as a law.
Caesar, I go.
Observe how Antony becomes his flaw, and what thou think'st his very action speaks in every power that moves.
Caesar, I shall.
What shall we do, Anabarbus?
Think and die.
Is Antony or we at fault for this?
Antony only. That would make his will lord of his reason. What though you fled from the great face of war, whose several ranges frighted each other? Why should he follow? The itch of his affection should not then have nicked his captainship. At such a point, where half to half the world opposed, he being the mere question, 'twas a shame no less than was his loss to course your flying flags and leave his navy gazing.
Prithee, peace.
Is that his answer?
Aye, my lord.
The queen shall then have courtesy, so she will yield us up.
He says so.
Let her note. To the boy Caesar send my grizzled head, and he will fill thy wishes to the brim with principalities.
That head, my lord.
To him again. Tell him he wears the rose of youth upon him, from which the world should note something particular. His coin, ships, legion, may be a coward's, whose ministers would prevail under the service of a child as soon as at the command of Caesar. I dare him, therefore, to lay his gay comparisons apart, and answer me declined. Sword against sword, ourselves alone. I'll write it. Follow me.
Yes, like enough. High-battled Caesar will unstate his happiness, and be staged to the show against a sworder. I see men's judgments are a parcel of their fortunes, and things outward do draw the inward quality after them, to suffer all alike. That he should dream, knowing all measures, the full Caesar will answer his emptiness. Caesar, thou hast subdued his judgment too.
A messenger from Caesar.
What? No more ceremony. See, my women, against the blown rose may they stop their nose that kneeled unto the buds. Oh, admit him, sir.
Mine honesty and I begin to square. The loyalty well held to fools does make our faith mere folly. Yet he that can endure to follow with allegiance a fallen lord does conquer him that did his master conquer, and earns a place of the story.
Caesar's will.
Here depart.
None but friends. Say boldly.
So happily are they friends to Antony.
He needs as many, sir, as Caesar has, or needs us not. If Caesar please, our master will leap to be his friend. For us you know whose he is, we are, and that is Caesar's.
Thus then, thou most renowned, Caesar entreats not to consider in what case thou stand'st further than he is Caesar.
Go on, right royal.
He knows that you embrace not Antony as you did love, but as you feared him.
Oh.
The scars upon your honor, therefore, he does pity as constrained blemishes, not as deserved.
He is a god and knows what is most right. Mine honor was not yielded, but conquered, merely.
To be sure of that, I will ask Antony. Sir, thou art so leaky that we must leave thee to thy sinking, for thy dearest quit thee.
Shall I say to Caesar what you require of him? For he partly begs to be desired to give. It would much please him that of his fortunes you should make a staff to lean upon, But it would warm his spirits to hear from me you had left Antony and put yourself under his shroud, the universal landlord.
What's your name?
My name is Therius.
Most kind messenger. Say to great Caesar this. In deputation, I kiss his conquering hand. Tell him I am prompt to lay my crown at his feet and there to kneel. Tell him from his all-obeying breath I hear the doom of Egypt.
'Tis your noblest course. Wisdom and fortune combating together, if that the former dare but what it can, no chance may shake it. Give me grace to lay my duty on your hand.
Your Caesar's father, oft when he hath mused of taking kingdoms in, bestowed his lips on that unworthy place as it rained kisses.
Favors. By Jove the thunders, what art thou, fellow?
One that performs the bidding of the fullest man, and worthiest to have command obeyed.
You will be whipped.
Approach, there. Ah, you kite. Now, gods and devils, authority melts from me. Of late, when I cried ho, like boys unto a musk, kings would start forth and cry, your will? Have you no ears? I am Antony yet. Take this jack and whip him. Moons and stars, whip him. Were 20 of the greatest tributaries that do acknowledge Caesar, I should find them so saucy with the hand of she here. What's her name, since she was Cleopatra? Whip him, fellows, till like a boy you see him cringe his face and whine aloud for mercy. Take him hence.
Mark Antony!
Tug him away. Being whipped, bring him again. This jack of Caesar's shall bear us an errand for him. You were half blasted ere I knew you, Egypt. Have I left my pillow unpressed in Rome, forborne the getting of a lawful race, and by a gem of women, to be abused by one that looks on feeders?
Good, my lord.
You have been a boggler ever, but when we in our viciousness grow hard, misery on it! The wise gods seal our eyes, in our own filth drop our clear judgments, make us adore our errors, laugh at us while we strut to our confusion.
Oh, is it come to this?
I found you as a morsel cold upon dead Caesar's trencher. Nay, you are a fragment of Gnaeus Pompey's. Besides what hotter hours, unregistered in vulgar fame, you have luxuriously picked out. For, I am sure, though you can guess what temperance should be, you know not what it is.
Wherefore is this?
To let a fellow that will make rewards and say God quit you be familiar with my playfellow, your hand. This kingly seal and plighter of high hearts. Oh, that I were upon the hill of Bassan to outroar the horned herd, for I have savage cause, and to proclaim it civilly were like a haltered neck which does the hangman thank for being yare about him. Is he whipped? If that thy father live, Therius, he'll repent thou wast not made his daughter. And be thou sorry to follow Caesar in his triumph, since thou hast been whipped for following him. Henceforth, the white hand of a lady fever thee. Shake thou to look on it. Get thee back to Caesar. Tell him thy entertainment. Look, and say he makes me angry with him. For he seems proud and disdainful, harping on what I am, not what he knew I was. He makes me angry, and at this time 'tis most easy to do it. When my good stars that were my former guides have empty left their orbs and shoot their fires into the abysm of hell. If he mislike my speech and what is done, tell him he has Hypocras, my enfranchised bondsman, whom he may at pleasure whip, or hang, or torture, as he shall like, to quit me. Urge it thou. Hence with thy stripes.
Ah! Have you done yet?
Alack! Our Terran moon is now eclipsed, and it portends alone the fall of Antony.
I must stay his time.
To flatter Caesar, would you mingle eyes with one that ties his points?
Not know me yet.
Cold-hearted toward me.
Oh, dear. If it be so from my cold heart, let heaven engender hail and poison it in the source, and the first stone drop in my neck, as it determines, so dissolve my life. The next Caesarian smite! Till by degrees the memory of my womb, together with my brave Egyptians all, by the descandying of this pelleted storm lie graveless, till the flies and gnats of Nile have buried them for prey.
I am satisfied. Caesar sits down in Alexandria, where I will oppose his fate. Our force by land hath nobly held. Our severed navy, too, have knit again, and fleet, threatening most sea-like. Where hast thou been, my heart? Didst thou hear, lady? If from the field I shall return once more to kiss these lips, I will appear in blood. I and my sword will earn our chronicle. There's hope in it yet.
That's my brave lord.
I will be treble-sinewed, hearted, breathed, and fight maliciously. For when mine hours were nice and lucky, men did ransom lives of me for jests. But now I'll set my teeth and send to darkness all that stop me. Come, let's have one other gaudy night. Call to me all my sad captains. Fill our bowls once more. Let's mock the midnight bell.
It is my birthday. I had thought to have held it poor, but since my lord is Antony again, I will be Cleopatra.
We will yet do well.
Call all his noble captains to my lord.
Do so. We'll speak to them. And tonight I'll force the wine peep through their scars. Come on, my queen. There's sap in it yet. The next time I do fight, I'll make death love me, for I will contend even with his pestilent scythe.
Now he'll outstare the lightning. To be furious is to be frighted out of fear. And in that mood, the dove will peck the estridge. And I see still a diminution of our captain's brain restores his heart. When valor preys on reason, it eats the sword it fights with. I will seek some way to leave him.